This morning's message is called Called, Disciple, Apostle, and Mission. So the title is Called, Disciple, Apostle, and Mission. And the passage that it's taken from this morning is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. So follow along with me as I read from God's holy word, Matthew chapter 10. Verse 1, he called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to throw them out and to heal every disease and every sickness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent these 12 out and commanded them, "Don't go among the Gentiles or into a Samaritan city. Go instead to the lost sheep, the people of Israel." And verse 7. And as you go, make this announcement: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Verse 8. Then he says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, and throw out demons," or cast out demons. "You received without having to pay, therefore give without demanding payment." So if you want to know where that song that Mary just sang, "Freely, Freely," comes from, right there it is. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. "Freely you have been given, freely receive," is what some other translations say. Let us pray. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this word. Continue to speak to our hearts. Help us to understand what you have called us to as your disciples, apostles, and the mission at large. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts and speak through me. Put me behind the cross and put the cross ahead so that Christ and Christ alone is only seen in everything. For we ask and pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Healing and emancipation, or freedom, are two of the aspects that certify the presence of the kingdom of God amongst us. In Jesus' own mission and in the mission of the 12, we see that the announcement of God's kingdom also brings healing. Jesus sends the 12 out into the countryside to perform the very works that has defined his ministry from the beginning. Their mission is the same that was carried out by Jesus. They are carrying out Jesus' mission. Except they were not sent to teach yet. As I said last week in Matthew chapter 28, it's finally after Christ is resurrected, he's about to ascend back to the Father, that he then gives the church, disciples, apostles, the authority to teach in his name. But up until then, he teaches. These are the things, three things, that he tells them to do now in this passage: to proclaim that God has come close, closer than your beating heart, and that this is good news, and to illustrate that the marginalized and the poorest of the poor, as Mother Teresa would say, are included in the work of God's grace to bring all people into the full life of the community. They are included without pay, without anything that they need to do. It's all grace. The first thing here is that God's call to be a disciple. It's not only upon the disciples' life, but it's also on our lives as well. The first realization for the disciples is God's call to be a disciple. God's calling to be a disciple precedes being sent into God's mission in the world. You see, God first needs to call people into relationship and intimacy with Him, where we learn and experience who God is in our life. Every human being receives this call, even if most people may not even know it or acknowledge it, it's there. The calling is the very basis of establishing every person's dignity and sacred value to God. Regardless of where a person is in life or any other factor, their worth is found in God's call upon their life. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. He says these words in 2 Timothy chapter 1. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because this was His plan from before the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. So it's simple here, that your worth is not found in how much money you own or how many things you have or the person with the most toys wins. No, your worth is found in God's calling upon your life. Your worth, my worth, comes from Almighty God only. We didn't deserve salvation, but it says God made it available because Christ deemed us worth it. Understanding this is vital. This is a vital importance, a sacred importance that cannot be disowned. In other words, nobody can disown or push away this sacred worth that they have by God. Nor can it be denied by anyone else. No matter what a person may have done, that sacred worth is still upon them. This sacred worth is offered or given to each person, and it is irrevocable. This is what the Apostle Paul then says to the church in Ephesus. He writes in chapter 4, verse 4, you are one body and one spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. Now, were they always perfect? Did they always do the right thing? No, nobody does. Everyone has sinned. And each human being has a divinely given calling, worth, and destiny. And that destiny is to share in the love of God for all of eternity. Though all persons are gifted differently after that, each person with various experiences and contributions that shape their personal identity, all people are equal in this first worth and calling. This dignity, it's equal and given to all persons as God's foundational gift to them. This is why murder and taking a life is so horrible. As we watch that video from Minneapolis, and him calling out, I can't breathe, being suffocated. This is why, right here, it's so wrong. Because each person has a divinely given worth. And even more horrible is the person taking someone else's life and doing so because of prejudice or thinking they are less than them, devaluing them. If they think they're better and the person who they're killing is less human or less deserving of God's sacred importance, God's sacred worth, their life and our life was never meant to be snuffed out. We were never meant to die from the beginning in Genesis, but to live fully in the freedom of God's love. And after the work of the cross, to live fully in God's unconditional forgiveness given to us by Jesus Christ. And even now, Christ calls all of the world into a recognizable and conscious personal relationship. He calls us friends, and He calls the world friends. He wants to be friends with them. And He offers each person the opportunity, the possibility of a deep intimacy with Himself. So just as he summoned the 12 and called them into Christian community as Christian disciples, he's also calling you. He's calling you right now. He's calling all of us. And after his calling to be a disciple, then secondly, we are called to be an apostle. God's call to be an apostle. Something very subtle happens in this passage. You may not even have noticed it. The passage starts out in verse 1 with he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples. And then in verse 2, it says this, here are the names of the 12 apostles. Between verse 1 and verse 2, it goes from disciples to apostles. Did you catch that? The word apostle means someone who is sent, or the sent one. This term is used in describing the church's mission. It is the church that is sent by God to be in mission for God. Remember last week, Matthew 28? Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That go, that sent, is what defines you and I as an apostle. We're sent. Sent by God on a mission for God. The person who is an apostle is authorized to speak for and act on behalf of the sender. I wonder how many Christians realize that each and every day they are speaking and acting, they're acting on behalf of Jesus Christ. They're ambassadors for Jesus Christ every minute of the day. Have you ever heard someone say, well, don't shoot the messenger? It's a statement in which a person giving the message is trying to mentally distance themselves from the message and also the person who sent the message. For the Christian, that can never be the case. The Christian must have these words on their lips. I know the author of the message, and I know what he wants me to tell you. And I know him personally. The message and the messenger are linked together with the one who's calling us, who sends us. By this point in Jesus' ministry, he sends them out to the countryside. And do you know how many years he's been with them? He's been with these disciples, according to a number of different sources and church tradition, for about 2 years. After 2 years of being with Jesus, after 2 years of following Jesus, he sends them out. Many people say, well, I'm not qualified to do this or that or talk to someone. Well, even if you've been a Christian just 2 years, like these disciples, you're qualified. You are more than gifted to speak your faith to someone else. By this point also, Jesus has called all 12 of his disciples. Now he commissions them for a specific mission. These 12 are now referred to as apostles, sent. The list of the 12 is very interesting. Why? Because they're just ordinary folks, fishermen and tax collectors, or someone who works for the government. You also have a zealot in this list who opposes the government. Some of these disciples and apostles are on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're nobody special. The Apostle Paul confirms this to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, where he says these words, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you, maybe a few, but not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. In fact, many of you weren't. Many of us aren't. But these are the kinds of people Jesus calls to be a disciple, to be an apostle, which is another word for missionary, sent. In other words, people like you and I, who are sent to talk to our kids, to our spouses, to our family members, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to share God's love with them freely. Next, after he calls them disciples, calls them apostles, number three, it's God's call to continue Jesus' mission. Following up on the call of the community in the church, Jesus sends his friends, his disciples, his apostles on a mission to the world. He entrusts this mission to ordinary people, ordinary disciples, and this mission is also entrusted, the same one that was entrusted to Jesus by the Father. Jesus sent these disciples out just as he himself was sent out. That's what he says in John chapter 20, verse 21. He says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." It might not be in the queue, so just stay where you're at. All disciples are sent just as Jesus was sent to the world, to shape the world, their communities, according to the values of the kingdom. We're all empowered for this, and Jesus trusts us to get it done. Mission is the purpose of the church. Since everyone shares the same human dignity, it's the responsibility of those who recognize that dignity and the source of that dignity, God, in creating and saving us, to announce to others the fact of their dignity in the eyes of God and in our eyes. Then together with them, we must find new methods to interact with society in ways that help them see, recognize, and respond to the dignity God gives them and has called them to be. In order to carry out Jesus' mission, the church needs to become what it is called to be. It needs to be a community that is living in the Spirit, touching lives with God's agape love, believing and hoping, a place where all of its members are challenged and supported and formed to deepen that sense of God in their lives and their God-given dignity, and to live accordingly. Every member of the community is responsible for strengthening each other. And for that purpose, each Christian then is given more gifts, more a variety of aptitudes and passions, skills and spiritual gifts for a wide range of different and complementary roles and responsibilities. Did you know that just in a brief search, there are 59 passages in the New Testament that deal with two words, one another. 59 verses and in the New Testament, and they range from wash one another's feet, be devoted to one another, honor one another, love one another, accept one another, instruct one another, carry one another's burdens, forgive one another, pray for one another, and the list goes on and on and on. You see, the integrity and dignity of each person is of the highest value because they have a gift to give to someone else. They have something to impart to someone else. Because we have been made in the image of God and remade in the image of Jesus Christ, every person has at least one spiritual gift. The purpose of the church is to provide the formation and support for every believer through one another. This is what Jesus means in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. So this morning's text contains the account of the first Christian missionaries. Missionary, another word for apostle, who are sent on a mission. They're Christian because they're sent out by Jesus Christ with a message about the kingdom of God. And they're the first because they are the first ones Jesus sends during his earthly ministry. And then he sends more from his heavenly ministry after he's ascended. In the next chapter of John chapter 11, John the Baptist wants to know if Jesus really is the one, the Messiah, the one promised by God. So John sends his disciples back to Jesus. And this is what Jesus tells his disciples, John's disciples. Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news that God's kingdom is near is being preached to the poor without pay, freely. Our message is the same. It hasn't changed one bit in 2,000 years. The message is that the kingdom of God has come near in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. Therefore, all must realize their worth and dignity in that kingdom, and that they haven't been living up to the worth and dignity of that kingdom. So therefore, they need to repent of their sins, trust in him as their Messiah and Lord. This is the message that we must announce. This is what also the Apostle Paul says the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. He says this, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, disciples, apostles, sent on a mission, the message of reconciliation. And he continues, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Oh, sorry. And we are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus makes it clear, Paul makes it clear, that his disciples were to be received just as Christ was being received. And to reject their message is to reject Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of all. That's what he's called us to. Even while we're sequestered, and then when we return back into this sanctuary together, he's called us to be a disciple, an apostle, with a message sent to those who need to hear of their sacred worth and dignity from him. If you haven't responded to being a disciple yet, knowing your calling in him to be forgiven and made new, then I invite you to pray this prayer with me that's on the screen. It's on your sermon notes if you went to the website and downloaded it. It's asking God to make you a disciple, to forgive you, give you his love, his grace, and start this wonderful journey to tell other people about their worth and their dignity. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge to you that I have sinned against you in many ways. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I want you to come into my life and be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Come into my life and be my Lord, and help me become the person you want me to be. Amen.